Welcome to the Women's Wellness Psychiatry Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Anna Glazer, MD, a reproductive and integrative psychiatrist here to help you make sense of the complex world of women's mental health. If your goal is to improve your emotional well-being, find fulfillment, and feel like your best self, you're in the right place. Welcome, my listener friends. In this episode, we're going to talk about premenstrual emotional symptoms. You may have heard the term PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or you may have just noticed a pattern in your life where you have more emotional and psychological symptoms right before your period, but maybe never had a term to describe it. The PMDD is actually becoming better known, but it's still not recognized by many clinicians, including mental health clinicians. In fact, I actually recently had a patient come to see me who'd been struggling with symptoms for many years and was tracking her symptoms, but was untreated by her current psychiatrist, and it went unrecognized. More and more patients are actually coming to me for the treatment of PMDD. In fact, when I took a look at the analyses from my clinic for the month of December, it was the second most common diagnosis for that month. And so I wanted to share with you information about what it is, how to recognize it, and to share some common treatment options so you can be aware of the fact that it is quite treatable. How common is it? Well, about 6% of the population in the US experience PMDD. However, about 40% of women describe in general an exacerbation of mental health and emotional symptoms premenstrually. So that's a very large percentage of our population. What does it look like? So there's psychological and physical symptoms. Psychological symptoms are often changes in mood, anxiety, irritability, and a decreased interest in activities. It's often described as a roller coaster. That's one of the most common terms that I hear from women who are experiencing these kinds of symptoms. And then there's the physical symptoms. Those include things like changes in appetite, sleep, and that can go both ways. Some women sleep more, some less. And then physical symptoms like breast tenderness, pain, or bloating. The key part is that it starts in the week before the menstrual period, during that luteal phase, and it improves within a day or so of the period starting. There's a couple of other really important components for the diagnosis. The most important one is that it leads to impaired functioning across the board. So I have some women for whom it's so severe that they're not actually able to work for a few days every single month. And so you can think about how disruptive that could be for your professional environment if you're not able to work for several days every single month. It can also lead to impaired functioning at home or socially, leading to conflict in your relationships with your spouse or irritability with your kids or challenges with parents or friends. So it can really cause significant havoc on your social life. And that impaired functioning is an important key symptom to recognize for the diagnosis of PMDD. In some women, in certain cases, it can actually be super, super severe because I've actually seen patients who experience suicidal thoughts and thoughts of not wanting to even be alive during those days of premenstrual dysphoria. So PMDD can be very severe. It can also be severe in terms of duration because for some women, it can actually last more than a week. And when you think about that, if you have 1 to 2 weeks of not feeling well, and then you have a couple of weeks of feeling well, that's almost 50% of one's life, right? That's a huge amount of time that you're spending every single month feeling debilitated. The other thing that's important to recognize are some of the psychological components of going through this experience without having an opportunity to label it or recognize it or get treatment. There was a lovely qualitative study from the BMC Medical Journal in 2020 that spoke about this quite a bit, where it spoke about kind of this sense of feeling dismissed when bringing this up with certain clinicians or others in one's life. And it was kind of dismissed as just part of the normal female experience, that PMS is normal and that this is a type of PMS. And it really isn't. It's something that is not part of the normal female experience and definitely something that warrants diagnosis and treatment. One thing that's important to recognize is the difference between PMDD and PME. So PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. PME is premenstrual exacerbation. And so what that is if you have an underlying condition, for example, maybe you have recurrent depression or a type of anxiety, those symptoms can worsen during the premenstrual window, during that luteal phase. And that's considered PME, premenstrual exacerbation of these underlying conditions, which is different than PMDD, where outside of that luteal phase, you actually feel really well. That's an important distinction. And one way to make that distinction is with tracking. That's actually one really important component of the diagnosis, but it can be a challenging part of the diagnosis because you do need to track prospectively, meaning looking ahead on a daily basis for at least 2 months. And I actually prefer to have more data because for many women, month to month can vary somewhat. This is particularly important for women with irregular menstrual cycles. One question that I often get is, can we diagnose this by checking my hormones? And the thing is, the short answer is no, because usually for many women with PMDD, they might have normal ranges of their estrogen and progesterone hormones. The issue is, how does their body use those hormones? So you might have two women with the exact same range of progesterone in their body and estradiol, but their body uses those hormones in very different ways. So the actual absolute numbers don't mean too much. It's what is the manifestation of how your body uses those hormones. So I often don't check hormones when making this diagnosis, but the tracking part is really, really important. Now that we've talked about how common PMDD and PME are, and how to diagnose it, let's talk a little bit about some of the primary directions that treatment can go in, just to share with you the fact that once this condition is recognized, it's something that you should definitely talk to your doctor about because it can be very treatable. So there's a few primary directions. The first is antidepressant medications, specifically SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Those are medications that you may have heard of, like fluoxetine, which is Prozac, or sertraline, which is Zoloft, and there's a few others, which can be taken either continuously, meaning on a daily basis, every day of the month, or really just during that luteal phase, that premenstrual window, to help with symptoms. For those with irregular periods, they're often taken with the onset of those symptoms. So that's one option to consider. Another option to consider discussing with your doctor are hormonal interventions. The most common hormonal interventions are oral contraceptive pills, combination pills with estrogen and progesterone, like drosperinone, in order to help with symptoms, all the way to more potent kinds of hormonal interventions, like GnRH agonists, such as Lupron. Gonadotropin-releasing hormone agonists play a role in the feedback cycle between our brains and our gonadotropins, in order to change the feedback cycle and change the amounts of estrogen and progesterone in our bodies. And so your doctor, such as your primary care or your GYN, can talk to you a little bit about whether that's an option to consider. Please also consider taking a listen to my prior podcast on the impact of hormonal contraception and its impact on mood and anxiety. But that's another option in order to treat PMDD symptoms, is to use hormonal interventions. A third option is botanical options. So there's a number of different kinds of supplements, like high doses of calcium, B6, and magnesium, which have been shown to improve some of the symptoms of PMDD. And certain botanicals like Vitex or chasteberry have also been studied. And the literature is mixed, but I've definitely had clinical experience where patients notice a significant improvement with taking these kinds of supplements. And finally, there's non-biological interventions, meaning you're not necessarily taking either a prescription or non-prescription agent. What you can do is consider cognitive behavioral therapy. There was actually a really interesting study that took place in 2019 where they tested an internet-based cognitive behavioral therapy treatment for PMDD. They put women into two categories, those who underwent 8 weeks of this CBT online and those who did not, and they actually found a significant improvement in symptoms. So treatment options can be both biological or psychotherapy oriented in order to help with symptoms. And finally, I want to mention that in addition to treatment, there's also the really important value of support, to get some support for what you're going through, just to refer back to, for example, that study that spoke about how many women feel somewhat dismissed when they're going through this kind of experience, saying that they really just didn't feel like they were heard and that their experience wasn't validated. So it's really helpful to have support from others who are going through similar kinds of situations. And so I tend to recommend the International Association of Premenstrual Disorders, IAPMD. They have a lovely website, and you can see a link for that down below this podcast episode. They have a wealth of information, as well as really amazing peer support and peer support groups, a provider directory, a directory of clinicians who are familiar with PMDD and can help diagnosis and treatment. And they also have a lot of different kinds of tracking tools. Remember, I mentioned that the tracking component is a really essential part of the diagnosis for PMDD. So I would encourage you to take a look there for some additional support. And so hopefully this podcast episode has helped you to recognize the fact that PMDD is not an uncommon experience for many women. PME is also an even more common experience for many women. This is something that is common but often dismissed. And so it's really important to talk about, which is why I chose it for this particular podcast episode. And I want to let you know so that you can recognize the symptoms, so you can track your symptoms, and really connect with a physician about getting those treated if they're impacting your functioning, both professionally and personally, and seek out support from others who are going through this experience and who would be able to help with validating the experience for you and helping you feel like you're not alone in this. I'll talk to you all next week. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode. As you know, my goal is to share with you the most helpful information that moves you towards emotional well-being. If you have suggestions or questions, I'd love to hear those. And I also always appreciate a rating that will help others find this valuable content. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again next week. Please note that while I am a clinical doctor, this podcast is not a substitute for, nor should be taken as medical advice. No specific health advice is being given on this podcast, and no physician-client relationship is created by you listening to this podcast. All information provided on this podcast is for informational purposes only.